Hi, and welcome to the Creekwood Christian Church Sermon Podcast. On this third Sunday of Advent, we are searching for joy, the promise and possibility of it that dwells within our world. Scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 35. Let us listen for a word from our God. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall bloom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy God, it is our prayer this day that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts reveal you more fully to us in spirit and in scripture. Amen. Did you know that jumping for joy is more than just an idiomatic expression? It's actually a biological response and evolutionary reality that scientists have observed in species as varied as rats and rabbits and teenagers. When we experience a heightened level of excitement, an outpouring of happiness, or euphoric joy, we jump, dance, and shake with excitement. Can you remember the last time you allowed yourself to jump for joy? Can you recall the last time that the electricity of joy was so shocking that you had to shake and shimmy a little? When the feeling of hope and happiness met so perfectly that you felt your heart and stomach flip-flop? As you're hearing me describe these sensations that scientists catalog as joyful responses, you might be thinking, the last time I felt my stomach and heart switch places, I was not experiencing joy. Or you might be remembering, or struggling to remember, that is, the last time your hope and happiness met. Instead, what you're having an easy time remembering is the last time your despair and sadness felt so big, you could not keep from shaking or sobbing. We shake with joy, the poet Mary Oliver writes. But she also writes, we shake with grief. What a time they have, these two, housed as they are in the same body. Because you're a human and because you're alive, you have known the emotional shake-up and shake-down of joy and grief coexisting within the same body. And because we are God's beloved creation, and because we have committed to living life alongside God and one another, we know how deep our desire for joy can be, and also how difficult our joy can be to find in this season within this body of believers. For some of us, we feel abundantly joyful in this season of life. We are ready to jump and dance, to shake and shimmy. We're preparing to welcome home loved ones whose necks we can't wait to squeeze and whose presents we've been eagerly buying and stashing in our closets. We are celebrating good news of big life changes, like beginning new jobs and preparing to welcome new family members through marriages and births and adoptions. We are rejoicing because we've experienced the profound power of renewal, healing, and remission. We are looking with optimism on the year ahead in our world, confident that there are leaders who value justice and joy for all people. Our houses are filled with the twinkle of Christmas lights and the glitter of ornaments, and we have baked all the cookies in preparation for the festivities that will soon begin. We are ready. Ready to joyfully journey alongside our spiritual ancestors on this new holy highway that we hear of in Isaiah, a highway that leads to rejoicing. For some of us, though, we're not quite ready for that journey to joy. It's not so much that we're joy averse, but we do feel joy less. And joy seems fairly apathetic towards our particular brand of jumping and shaking this holiday season. We are preparing to experience Christmas without someone we love, and we're uncertain how we'll cope with the loss of their presence in our lives. We are lamenting a year of big changes, like jobs lost and the dissolution of marriages, the advent of weird new family dynamics, and not getting to speak aloud the baby names we picked out. We are scared because new diagnoses mean new anxieties and medical bills. Treatment isn't working the way our doctors had hoped, and we are so tired of feeling like this. Our houses aren't decorated for Christmas. In fact, the only evidence you'll see of holiday cheer is the residual glitter from last year's decorations. Because glitter never goes away. And when we observe the world around us, our hearts can't help but break for the broken bodies and spirits and communities we see across the neighboring borders and most distant lands. The closest we've come to homemade cookies is that bag of Oreos we stress ate in bed, something we only regret doing because we'll never be able to shake the sheets out with all the crumbs. And we heard the scripture reading about that new highway that leads to everlasting joy, but all we were really able to focus on is that new roads mean new construction and traffic is bad enough already. While neither list is exhaustive, both are exhausting in their own way, in the dichotomy of joy. And yet, please notice that in the difference between joyful and joyless, there's no us versus them. There's only we, us, and ours. Because our joy and our grief live within the same body. And no body lives only within joy or without joy. And no body lives within or without joy alone. These are the bits and pieces of scripture that we hear today from Isaiah. A promise that comes to us via a poem. A poem written by Isaiah to help God's people understand how God and humanity encounter one another in the promise and possibility of joy. Scripture tells us that God is steadfast, forever seeking ways to renew and redeem us. God is not afraid to blaze a new trail, to chart a new path, to forge a new way for us to witness the power and passion God has for cultivating relationship with us. As Walter Brueggemann explains, God refuses to accept that any bit of creation is beyond redemption. God, much like glitter and joy, is stubborn. You see, joy is stubborn in that it is always, forever, relentlessly springing forth, even in wilderness places. Places where we were sure that happiness and hope could no longer grow. And while joy is not in full bloom in every season, there are promises that it will blossom again. Sometimes we have to look for signs that joy was here before in order to find it again. The signs of joy that once was can be maddening. Things like crumbs from cookies already eaten, memories of great love for those who are no longer present, glitter that refuses to yield to the powers of bah humbug and household cleaners, friends who refuse to leave our sides. It seems that the seeds of joy are almost as surprising as humans. Humans like us who have been created in God's image, a God who is full of surprises, and so we, those who emulate and embody God in this world in being some semblance of God's image, we humans are surprising. Surprising in our ability to be both faithful and foolish, to be both joyful and joyless, to be shaking and shouting, to somehow be deeply flawed and still fully embodied as God's beautiful creation. And surprising because we find ourselves in the presence of God who insists that we make God's joy complete, even when we are completely at a loss for how to connect with God or with joy, because God is never at a loss for connecting with us. You see, it's only a couple thousand years after Isaiah wrote his poem about new life and everlasting joy bursting forth in the wilderness that Mary Oliver writes this poem about joy. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and very often not kind, and much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. Perhaps this is its way of fighting back, that sometimes something happens better than all the riches or power in the world. It could be anything, but very likely you notice it in the instant love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb. Joy is not made to be a crumb, but it's okay if it starts out that way. It's okay for our joy to mix and mingle and be muddled by our grief, because that means we've risked vulnerability and valued relationship. It's okay for us to feel our feeble knees shaking, our weak hands ringing, and our fearful hearts pounding, because it means we're paying attention to our bodies and the somebodies around us, that we're noticing how our environment and experiences have impacted us. It's okay that our joy starts small, because the promise of joy that finds us in the manger is the promise that God's hope and happiness meet in something as tiny as a seed. This is where the joy begins again, because of God's relentless desire to bear with us, endure with us, and be present with us. So whether we're jumping for joy this season or grasping for it, God finds us exactly where we are and tells us that these seeds of joy, from them, a whole world can be reborn. Amen.